Now, I can look back on my life many years ago, and a lot of you folks here in this church have seen me grow up here. You've seen me from when I was a little tot. I remember Mrs. Phillips when she was Miss Mazur. And that was her name then, and she remembered me when I was just a little kid. And I've done a lot of growing up, and the religious, they've known me since I was a snot-nosed kid. And probably wanted to beat the tar out of me a few times for some things that I did to their son, Austin. And I got some stories for you. But I've been here a long time, and you guys have known me. You've seen me in my ups. You've seen me in my downs. You see me in my strong points. You see me in my weakest points. And thank God for forgiveness. Amen. But with all that being said, I can remember going back to my particular point in time in a childhood of mine where I was in my early teens, my middle teens, and I can remember going to a camp somewhere in Michigan. I forget exactly where this camp was at, and me and a good friend of mine, we went there, and we ventured out with some other preacher boys from around here, and we drove all the way from Council Bluffs, Iowa, to somewhere in Michigan, close to God knows where. I couldn't tell you. But we had a good time, and I can remember going there. I remember telling a story to my father because he was kind of apprehensive about letting me go with four other men in a van across country. And we sold him on this: "Hey, it's a good time for me to learn to grow in Christ." And my dad said, "Amen, son. He's finally coming around," and he let me go. Little did he know. Little did he know. But he gave me the permission to go across country with these four men, and we just had a great time. And throughout the week, me and a friend of mine, we did some pretty stupid things during this camp. And that's what most young people do. They do a lot of stupid things growing up. And my brother, he's here. He knows a lot of the stupid things that I've done, and I still do. And if you want to know even more, my honey, she'll tell you even more about it. But anyway, I can remember going back. I remember one particular night we're in the services, and I believe this was about it was a Wednesday night, and I was not taking camp very seriously at all. I went there for the wrong reason, for the wrong motives, and I knew that. And I sold my dad on some false motives, some false reasons, and but he allowed me to go anyway. And I remember I got called down in the service by the pastor in the service. I remember this plain as day. And he called me out in front of 500 people, me and my friend of mine. And we were doing some stupid things. And I'm not going to tell you what I did. That's between me and God and those 500 people there. But he called me down and set me straight, set my friend straight, and no longer could sit in the back row. We had to sit in the front row. But can you believe I did these things? And you're all wanting to know, what did he do? God will show you. And I can remember doing these things, and a friend of mine that we went with, he came down, and he saw what was going on. He was a little bit older, he was a little bit wiser, and he came down, and he was talking to me during the middle of the service, and he showed me this verse that I'm going to take you to tonight that changed my life, but I didn't live it at the time. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. This is a verse that should be a life-changing verse for us Christians. So this morning we dealt with the sin of Achan. We saw what happened when Achan went out and he brought the accursed thing into the camp. We saw the effects of sin. We saw the consequences of sin. But what we didn't deal with this morning with this particular issue of sin is that Achan was commanded not to go back into the land of Jericho and take of the accursed thing. He was commanded. I need you to understand it. He was commanded. But take that, what we've learned this morning, we're going to take it here tonight. And it says in verse number 7, it says, "Be not deceived." Be not deceived. These past few weeks, I've had the privilege of working with the young people up at Master's Club. And I tell you what, it is a privilege to work with them. I was kind of scared and nervous at first, but God is blessed there. And these past few weeks, I've been dealing with the story of Jacob and Esau and how Jacob deceived Esau and what the word deceived means. And we sit there and we look at the word, it says, "Be not deceived." In other words, it's saying, be not fooled. Be not tricked. Don't be fooled. Be not deceived. Read these next four verses, words with me out loud. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Do you realize something, folks? What we talked about this morning is going into tonight. Do you realize with the sin that we are committing in our lives is a direct mockery toward our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Because we are commanded not to sin. You go back into the Old Testament and we have 10 laws that we're supposed to go by. We're supposed to abide by these laws, but let's be honest, we have broken every single law that's in there. The Bible says if you've done one, you've done them all. And by doing these things, by not living our life to where God has told us to live and how He wants us to live, we are mocking God. And I'm going to tell you something. There are some results that take place. There is some devastation that takes place when God's people, and not only God's people, but when the world mocks God. God deals with those people. God doesn't take this thing lightly. So be not deceived. God is not mocked. I'm going to read you something that might be startling. It's going to take me a little bit to get through this. But here are some results of people who mock God and didn't get away with it. It goes back to what we talked about this morning. There's consequences for our sins. And that's what I want us to understand here today. It is written in the Bible, as I just read, Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." And here are some men and here are some women that we have known throughout the years who have directly mocked God out in public, verbally, and here's what's happened with him. John Lennon is one of them. Some years before, during his interview with an American magazine, he said, "Christianity will end. It will disappear. I do not have to argue about that. I am certain." Jesus was okay, but his subjects were too simple. Today, he's talking about we, the Beatles. We are more famous than him. This is in 1966. Shortly thereafter, after saying that the Beatles were more famous than Jesus Christ, you know what happened to John Lennon? He was shot six times. Six times, mocking God. We are not more famous than God. He was mocking God. Tancredo Neves, president, ruined that name, but it's okay. President of Brazil. During a presidential campaign, he said, if he got 500,000 votes from his party, not even God would remove him from presidency. Sure, he got the votes, but he got sick after a day before being made president. Then he died. God doesn't like it when people mock him. He hates it. Cazuza. That's a good one when you sneeze. Bless me. He was a bisexual, or was a woman. He was a bisexual Brazilian composer, singer, and poet. During his show in Rio de Janeiro, I can't even say this one. Okay, thank you. While smoking his cigarettes, he puffed out some smoke into the air and said, "God, that's for you." He died at the age of 32 of AIDS in a horrible, horrible manner. Further on down the list, the man who built the Titanic. After the construction of the Titanic, a reporter asked him, "How safe is the Titanic? How safe would it be?" With an ironic tone, he said, "Not even God can sink it. Not even God can sink it." And we all know the results of that one. That hits home with every single one of us. We learn about it in our history books. We all know how many lives were lost that day. Goes back to what we talked about this morning. One man's sin. This was a sin, mocking God. Marilyn Monroe. I never knew this until yesterday. She was visited by Billy Graham during a presentation of a show. He said the Spirit of God has sent him to preach to her. Have anybody heard this? After hearing what the preacher had to say, she said, "I don't need your Jesus." A week later, she was found dead. Bon Scott. A lot of us might know this guy. The ex-vocalist of AC/DC. Now that might ring some bells with some folks. On one of his 1979 songs, he sang, "Don't stop me. I'm going down all the way, down the highway to hell." On the 19th of February, 1980, Bon Scott was found dead. He had been choked by his own vomit, mocking God. Another person, I cannot pronounce the name. There's a little story behind this. This was in Brazil. It was a group of friends. They were drunk, and they went to go pick up a friend. The mother accompanied her to the car and was so worried about the drunkenness of her friends, and she said to the daughter, holding her hand, who was already seated in the car, "My daughter, go with God, and He may protect you." Her response to her mother, "If, only if He, God, travels in the trunk, because inside here, it's already full." Man, this is going to surprise you. Hours later, news came by that they had been involved in a fatal accident. Everyone had died. The car could not be recognized what type of car it had been. But surprisingly, the trunk was intact. The trunk was intact. The police said there was no way the trunk could have remained intact. This is going to floor you, folks. To their surprise, inside the trunk was a crate of eggs. Not a single one of them was broken. Sounds like she should have been in the trunk with Jesus. Mocking God. Christine Hewitt, a Jamaican journalist and entertainer, said, "The Bible, the Word of God, was the worst book ever written." In June of 2006, she was found burned beyond recognition in her motor vehicle. Why did all this happen? Because they mocked God. They mocked God. God hates sin. God hates being mocked. But you know what, folks? After talking about all these stories, we're no different. We're no different. We mock God in just as many ways as these folks that I mentioned here mock God every single day. And it's true. There's ways that I can show you how we mock God. We don't take reading the Word of God seriously. We tend to keep the Word of God closed when we get home. We don't allow it to speak to our hearts. Do you think, as a child of God, having God dwell within our hearts, don't you think that He wants to have some type of communication with us? And how, if we as God's children, we go home after listening to the sermons on Sundays and on Wednesdays, and we go home and we close our Word, and we don't allow any type of communication to take place between us and our Heavenly Father, do you think that we're going to be able to grow? No, why? It's because we're mocking Him. We're saying, this Word that God has put down here is not important for us. We're basically saying what Christine Hugh is saying. The Bible's the worst book ever written. By not picking it up, we're bringing direct mockery to God. We bring mockery in the way that we serve God. We don't serve God with our whole heart, with our whole soul. We come in a church, we come with a casual attitude, a casual mind, and we serve God casually. Do you think that's what God, how God wants us to serve Him? No, God wants us to serve Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. But we mock God in these areas. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." The reason we mock God is because we are sowing our seed in the wrong field. We're not sowing where we should be sowing, and we're going to be reaping those benefits later on down in our life. "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." It's a fact. It's a fact of the matter. What you sow 10 years from now, you're going to sow it later on in life. You're going to reap it. God's Word is not a lie. It's a truth. It's a fact. But we think of it as, hey, it's not going to happen to me. God's not going to do this to me. You know, hold on. Don't underestimate God. Don't mock God. Because what's going to happen? I'd hate to see what's going to happen in our lives because we're bringing great mockery to our Lord and Savior. It says in verse number 8, and the reason we mock God in our life, the reason we don't take God seriously is because I believe a lot of us, and I'm just as guilty here, just as guilty as anybody in here tonight, it says, "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." That was the whole entire problem. We go back to the book of Joshua. That was the whole entire with Achan. Achan mocked God. He disobeyed God deliberately after being told what he should not have done. He mocked God. He went out and he fed his flesh. He grabbed the accursed thing. He brought it into camp. And the rest is history because we see the results that took place this morning. And he mocked God in the process. Don't think that you're going to get away with it. There are consequences for it. Chad, you're kind of rehashing what you said this morning. Amen. Sometimes you have to. So we saw how Achan was reaping his flesh. We can go to David. And David, he began to look upon Bathsheba when she was taking a bath. And we begin to see here that he acted upon his flesh. We can go back and we can look at the life of Samson and Delilah. And we see a woman here as well. And Samson acted upon the flesh. He mocked God. And all three of these men mocked God in the process. Why? Because they're trying to sow their flesh. And later on in life, they begin to reap it. And too many times we're sown in the wrong place. We're not sown where we should be. And we're feeding our flesh. We're not feeding the spirits the way that we should be. And folks, we ought to be ashamed what we're allowing our lives to be filled with. We ought to be ashamed that because of this, we are mocking God in the process. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting." God wants us, as we become children of God, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Praise God for that. But that's a time in our life where we're supposed to stop sowing in the flesh. We're supposed to put that behind us. That's our old life. That's no longer a part of our life because God has saved us from that. But as I said this morning, Satan likes to trip us up. He likes us to. He knows our flesh. He knows what causes us to stumble. He feeds that every single day. He's throwing little things out there every single day in the process. But God doesn't want us to reap our flesh anymore. He wants us to go out and He wants us to sow in the Spirit. Amen? That's what we need to do. We need to be sowing after God. Putting those seeds in the right places of our life. Stop feeding the flesh here. We wonder why we're not growing spiritually. We wonder why churches across America are suffering a great deal. Because too many of us, and myself included, we're feeding the flesh. Let's stop feeding the flesh today. Let's stop bringing sin in our church. Let's stop mocking God. Let's start serving God the way He deserves to be served. Because there is going to come a day when God's going to call His children home and we are going to bow down before Him. Why not do it now? Why not do it now? That's what God wants. God wants to be praised. God wants to be worshipped. God wants to be glorified. God wants to work in our life. But the sad thing of it is, we're not sowing in the right direction. We're sowing after other things in our lives. And we're heading down the wrong path. I'm scared of what's going to happen to churches across America. We can go home tonight, we can turn on the television, and we can turn on any Christian station, and we can sit there and see any person come along the scene and say, "Ain't God good?" Then you can have a preacher come up and he'll hold up in his hand and he'll have you say a quote from something I hold in my hand. You guys know who I'm talking about? This very Bible. And that's all they say. And things of that nature. We live in a scary society today where preachers are walking away from the truths of God. We have preachers that are afraid to speak the truth. We have preachers who are afraid to preach about sin. We have preachers who are afraid to preach about salvation. We have preachers who are afraid to preach about mocking God. Thank God that we have some preachers that are still around. that believe in that, and that teach that very same thing, and tried to get us to go down the path that they so desperately want us to go down. But folks, we need to realize the importance here. Be not deceived. Stop fooling yourself. Stop fooling yourself. God is not mocked. I can almost guarantee you, if you were to bring every single one of these people back to life today, that if they had the opportunity, the chance to sit there and take back those words that they said, to have life once again, I guarantee you they would do it. Why is that? Because they know what it's like in hell. And they don't want to go back. But the sad thing of it is, they don't have that opportunity. They don't have that opportunity. They mock God. We are more famous than Him. Not even God can vote me out of presidency. Not even God could sink this ship. The Bible is the worst book ever written. God belongs in a trunk. These are some harsh words. But folks, we're just as guilty. We're just as guilty. How are we just as guilty? Because we do the same thing. We do the same thing. You have your own little ways of having your own little mockery with God, but be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Go back to the book of Joshua chapter 7 again, if you would. Go back to chapter 7, verse number 1. It says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing." Now, I want you to understand something. I believe that the finger wasn't at this point in time being pointed just at Achan. It was at everybody, because it says the children of Israel committed a trespass. And because of this thing that Achan desired to feed his flesh, he decided to say no to God and to His ways. He decided, hey, you know what? My flesh is more important here. I'm desiring these things, and I'm just going to do what I want to do. And he was mocking God in the process here, folks. He despised what God was doing. I believe at this point in time in his life as well, he woke up that morning and he decided, and he said to himself, this is me thinking out loud, the Scripture doesn't say this, okay? But I believe that he decided, and he woke up that morning and said, you know what, I'm not going to pray for the things that need prayed for in my life. Achan knew his flesh, he knew his weakness, and he woke up that morning and said, you know what, I'm not going to have fellowship with God. Mockery number one. Hey, I'm going to wake up this morning and I'm not going to allow myself to read the Bible. I'm not going to allow myself to go in and have that one-on-one conversation with God as we should allow ourselves to have. And he mocked God in that process. And he let his flesh overcome and taken his life. And he went back to the city of Jericho. And he went back and he took the accursed thing. And in the process, he was mocking God the whole entire time. Only if Achan knew this verse. Be not deceived. Oh, what a fool Achan was. What a fool he was. Bringing that accursed thing back into the camp. What a fool. Mocking God the whole entire way. But God wasn't finished with him. God got a hold of him. And we read the story. And I'm going to conclude this story tonight. And we all saw the thing this morning. Verse number 25, and it says, "And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." What's that mean? What's that mean about mocking God? What's that mean about being not deceived? I'll tell you what it means. Vengeance is of the Lord. Vision, it's of the Lord. He didn't take this too lightly. And He dealt with it in a very serious matter. And one thing that we need to realize as God's children is, God is tired of how we're living our lives. He is. He is sick and tired of how we live our lives. He's sick and tired that He's always being put on the back shelf by His children that He has come to save. He has come to save us from a hell. But we put Him on the back shelf. What are we doing when we do that? We're mocking God. We're mocking Him, folks. And God doesn't take this lightly. And so because of that day when Achan went back in and he took the accursed thing, he brought it into the camp, the Lord took His vengeance out upon him. The Lord dealt with him in a way that is very disturbing to me. Because we saw the process this morning. We talked about it. It says, and all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. If you're a person that's out there tonight and you call yourself a Christian, you call yourself a believer in God, but you don't take God seriously, you're mocking God. It's time to fess up. It really is. I don't know how other way to put it. The great thing about our Lord and Savior is, and I know you folks know this. I know for a fact you know this. I heard this in our prayers tonight. But the great thing about our Lord and Savior, Q, even though that we offend Him, even though we mock Him and ridicule Him, He still forgives. He still forgives. That's my the most important thing that I've been trying to get out this whole entire day is to ask God for that forgiveness. To swallow that pride that we deal with. To swallow that bitterness that we deal with every single day, that pride. That lust that's within our hearts. That alcohol that consumes our lives. We need to confess these things to God. Why? Because He is a person who wants to forgive us. I heard Mindy say a few years ago, Mindy, you don't know how much you blessed my heart when you said this. You gave a testimony, and I'm probably going to mess it up, but that's okay. You gave a testimony, said no matter how many times you walk away from God, as soon as you turn around, God's there. You know what she is saying in that process? God has never left us. We have left Him. What happens when we leave God? We're mocking Him. Plain and simple. Be not deceived. Don't be a fool. Don't be tricked into it. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're not going to get away with it. Well, Chad, I'm doing fine right now. I haven't had any effects from it now. I haven't had to deal with it yet. A thing that I didn't say this morning that I was holding off till tonight. God deals with sin. You will never outrun God. You will never get away from not dealing with your sin. God will deal with you. And He'll deal with you in some ways to wake you up. And it happens. And it's important for us as God's children to accept His forgiveness and ask for it. Amen? He's there waiting for us. But the whole entire time that we're rejecting it, that we're putting it off, we're mocking God in the process. He's our Lord and Savior. I think He deserves better than that. I think He deserves to be praised, to be worshipped, to be honored the way that a king should be. Because He is our King. He's our Lord and Savior. He's our Creator of the universe. But we treat Him like dirt. We do. We don't treat Him the way that He should. Why? Because we have this attitude of mocking Him and not loving Him the way that He should, not serving Him the way that He should. I know I'm a young person. I understand that. But I believe with all my heart that there is going to be revival coming to America. I believe that with all my heart. But we got to get back to what was being talked about this morning. Deal with our sin. Let's stop mocking God. Let God bless an Open Door Baptist Church. Let God bless in your life. He wants to. All you have to do is let Him. He's there for you. And we're going to see some things. We're going to experience some things that we can't even imagine. You know, I get kind of sad every once in a while when I hear people preach about the rapture when Jesus comes back for His children. And I want you to understand why I get kind of sad about this. One of the reasons is, you know, most people, a lot of people say, "Amen, I can't wait for the rapture to happen." And one of the reasons why I get sad over this issue is because, folks, there's too many people going to hell right now. There's too many people going to hell. And by us not opening our mouth, by us not getting in the Word, gaining the knowledge from Him, we're mocking God in the process. And because of that, folks, millions of people are going to hell. That's one of the reasons why I'm not so anxious about the rapture at this point in time. I believe God is going to do some things to wake this country up. I believe that He has started in some areas and personally. You want to talk about mocking God and you thinking there's no consequences to it? Why don't you go over to Japan? It's a nation that mocks God. It's a nation that doesn't serve God. It's a nation that serves idols and worships them. And you wonder why, what happened the other day? This goes to show you what we talked about earlier. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Folks, we have an important job to do. And I believe it's time for us as God's people, as Christians, we say that we're Christians. Let's start acting like it. Amen? If you would please, with the head bowed and your eyes closed, Chris, if you come up and to the piano. I have no idea how God has spoken to your heart today.